thank you for joining us on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast as myself, Patrick Connelly, Frank Hickey and Ruby Walsh look ahead to the live ITV cards from Newmarket. The flat season is most certainly here and we've got some guineas trials and to look at. Frank Hickey, how are you? Are you ready for the flat season?
Yes, it takes a bit of adjustment, but look, you've no time. You have to go in there and try and not price up too many ricks.
Hard enough this stage of the season because we often see funny results, second and third strings winning, because I guess connections don't really know, you know, at this stage of these horses' lives.
Like all you can look at is, like, I suppose, like I would have done a bit of analysis on like trainer form and like analysing what trainers traditionally start well and try and predict what months they're going to peak and what months they're going to maybe take a bit of different form and use that as a bit of a guide, and then obviously assess every horse individually. But yeah, it's guesswork. It's guesswork, and you know when you get it wrong, it's just guess filled in.
There you go. Away. There you go, folks. Trader from Paddy Power just said it's guesswork. There you go. You can make a few quid. Ruby Walsh, this is surely your favorite part of the season. We're getting ready. We had the 2,000-1,000 guineas at Leopardstown Trials, and we've got them at Newmarket. We've got the Craven. We've got the Nell Gwyn. This is it, Ruby. Are you ready?
I am, PK. Actually, I do enjoy it.
Excellent.
But not from a tipping perspective. I think it's like watching the National Hunt Racing in October and November. I'm never afraid to miss the boat this time of year and be ready for the bigger stuff down the line when horses have had a run, yards are in form, and you have your own opinion to follow. Because right now, as Frank Hickey's just told you, there's a lot of guesswork involved.
Well, here we are, folks. Two guessers are going to hopefully guess a few winners for you at Newmarket during the week on live on ITV, but they have done research and that's the main thing. So they're guesstimates rather than guesses. Let's call it that. Right, Frank, I'm going to start with you. The ITV4 cameras will be on Wednesday and Thursday at Newmarket. They kick off with a handicap at 150. It is not 100 races, 6 furlong sprint. Do you have one for us in this race?
If one, I'd be willing to take a chance on, because I'd say it'd be a bit of a price. Some people might call me guessing. Others would call me a bluffer. Who knows which is right. But the one I like is Dazzling Dan for Pam Sly. Thinks, you know, she's a trainer I have a bit of time for. This horse started last season, rated 103, dropped down to 90. Now he's had a poor season, obviously. He did show glimpses of ability, though. He was beaten 4 lengths by Nahar at Newbury off of Mark in 99. He was beaten 4.5 lengths at Ascot by Chill Chill of 98. He's running here off America 90. He's won at the course before. He won here in May 2019 as a 3-year-old off America 95. And he actually beat Oxted on the July course in a handicap off America 99. So he does have that, you know, raw ability. He's had a wind up since we've seen him last year. He's drawn 9. I'm always looking to see where the rails are going to be. It says stand side. So I assume 9 will be close to the rail as we will look at it. So I would just be surprised to see him bang on to the rail, maybe lead or sit second and go well at a little bit of a price. Okay. I anticipate he could be 9, 10 to 1, hopefully.
He's 10 to 1 as we speak, Dazzling Dan, in that opener. That's a 6 furlong sprint handicap, Ruby. Anything from you? We move to the free handicap?
Nothing outstanding. I just did think Chill hasn't ran since Randy Allweather in Kempton on the 7th of October, but look, Frank has already mentioned it in the form of the horse he was fancying. Sylvester Tuzza takes the ride, or Oshie Murphy rides actually, and Angel Balls and horses often can be forward enough.
Yeah, he's got a couple in the race for the same owner. We move on to the European Free Handicap, the 225. Sometimes called a Guineas trial. I'm sure the ITV team will try and call a Guineas trial. I can't remember the last time a horse went on to win the Guineas from this race, but it's a curious one, a listed handicap. You don't really see too many of these at this stage of the season. Frank, we'll start with you. You've priced the race up. You've made Naval Crown, or we've priced the race up, and we've made Naval Crown the 7-4 favourite as we speak for the Godolphin team. Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore teaming up with Ontario. He tops the weights, and he's 9-2. It's 6-1 for Percy's Lad, 7-1 Legal Attack. What are your thoughts?
I didn't price this one up now, luckily enough. I didn't get to the flat ones. But look, Nathan Crown's got a £4 penalty for winning in Maidan. He's obviously had the benefit of getting a bit of sun and stuff out there. Ontario had some decent form last year. He was placed in a Group 2 in the Royal Odds Stakes here. I just thought getting weight down the bottom, Percy's Lad, for Eve Johnson-Houghton might be worth taking a chance on. One very easy first time out of Salisbury. I was impressed with it. foul up in the conditions races, Nottingham over an extended mile, and drop back to 7 on heavy grounds for last year, tail end of October, when beaten a length by Mudge Bar. Now, I think the ground wouldn't have been ideal from that day. I think getting back a decent ground suit off a mark of 100, he's going to get like, what, £8 off Naval Crown and £9 off Ontario. I think he might be able to put it up to them.
Okay.
I like the way he goes. I like the way he went through his races, particularly the twice he won. I think he's a little bit underestimated.
Percy's lad for Frank, Ruby.
Yeah, it's a little bit hopeful more than anything else. But look, Tactical was very good early in the season last year. Obviously won the Windsor Castle at Royal Ascot over 5 furlongs. Trip could be a bit of an issue, but definitely shaped really well early doors last year. And I'm going to go with Tactical maybe to get the 7. Might be a stretch, but look, if it doesn't get home, we might get it back over 6 furlongs somewhere along the way.
Could be a good day for Oisin Murphy if Ruby's right. A couple of winners potentially for him. The 3 o'clock is the Earl of Sefton. This race over a mile and a furlong for the older horses. Now, Global Giant was absolutely smashed off the boards, if there were boards on racecourses at the moment, to win on the all-weather Kempton last time out for John and Thady Gosden, who've got a couple in this race, also have Forest of Dean. Ryan Moore rides for Sir Michael Stout on Solid Stone. Frank, what are your thoughts here?
I'd be willing to take him on. That was an appalling race at Kempton, to put it mildly. Stormy Antarctic's a horse that wants, you know, plenty of cut and turf. I think it was his first start to the all-weather, if I remember correctly. And you've got Faylak in there, who's just the epitome of a bridle horse, finds absolutely nothing. He didn't need to do anything out of the ordinary to win that the way he did. And just the way the race potentially could set up, I'm going to take a chance on Maurice Diamond. He won first time out last year at Newmarket. Now it was Guineas weekend then, but got loose in the front over a mile in a listed race. Ran really well in the Queen Anne, went third, form tail off a bit as the season went on then. But you're looking at the race and trying to find pace, and he might get away on the front here again. We've got the old SCS on board, who there's very few jockeys as good as him, I think, when riding from the front. And just at the prices again, like Global Giant's priced up as if, you know, he just nearly has to turn up and win. I'd be taking him on. 9 furlongs here. Yeah, I think Maurice Diamond can turn him over.
Okay. Ruby, your thoughts on the Earl of Sefton?
I was in the same camp, and it basically was because of the race Maurice Diamond was running in. I mean, it was, as Frank said, third in the Queen Anne, behind Circus Maximus, Mohatar, Space Blues. When you look at the winners of the horses that Maurice Diamond was running in, it's just been running in really good races, and it takes a drop in grade and guaranteed to be fit where it's coming from.
Nice price too. 2 votes for Maurice Diamond. We move on to the Nell Gwynn, the final race on ITV4 on Wednesday, and this is traditionally a 1,000 guineas trial. Looking at the market as we speak, as we record, Saffron Beach unbeaten for Jane Chappell-Heim is your 5-2 favourite. Love Is You for Roger Charlton, 3-1, also unbeaten. Also unbeaten is Divine Light at 4-1. Ruby, I'll come to you first. Do you see a 1,000 guineas winner here, and do you see an Nell Gwynn winner here?
I'm sure Godolphin will be hoping they have one with Divine Light, but that beat Acheloys, who ran once after at Newbury and couldn't be found behind Statement. So, you know, that's not exactly a massive boost for the farm. Oasis Cave was back in third, and that got absolutely trounced behind One Journey then at Newbury in October as well. So, look, Divine Light could do no more than win, but it only won a half length on that occasion. So you're thinking, where's the improvement in that? Sacred had plenty of chances. Bybee would love as you. Roger Tartan, Jason Hart, ran twice last year, won at Ascot in September and Newbury in October, over a mile and 7 furlongs, guaranteed to stay. This is 7 furlongs. You know, even if it lacks a bit of fitness, it has guaranteed stamina.
Okay. Love Is You from Ruby. Frank, where are you settling?
I'm pretty sure she's going to end up the best horse coming out of this race. I just have a small concern about the grounds. It's bordering, it's good to firm in places, and when it was, she won last, I think it was good to soft. It was heavy when she was impressive at Newbury, and I was just checking their form for you. Did win a maiden on good to firm, but some of the better form was on slower grounds. Just a small niggle. I just sided with Saffron Beach. Very impressed. She's won twice here in her 2 starts at Newmarket over 7 furlongs. First on debut in a maiden, at the tail end of September, she won very impressively. Absolutely was really taken with the way she won. And then when you dig into the form, the 3rd, 5th, 6th, 7th, 9th, 10th, and even the 13th of all won races since. So it was a very good maiden. She wasn't at the same level when she won the Group 3 also sharp stakes the next day. Thank You Next had been running in, you know, very strong nurseries. And the bare form wouldn't be great. But I do think Soft Brown's kind of blunted her speed a little bit. And I think she showed a good attitude to win. But I think when things probably didn't play out perfectly for her, I just think back on a bit of better ground that's going to suit her. And she might just be a small bit more, you know, peaked for this than the Roger Charles horse.
Do you see a 1,000 guineas winner in that field?
No.
That's okay.
There might be one running on the card, though.
Okay, well, before we go to Thursday, you're going to have to tell us who the 1,000 guineas winner is.
No, it's just one that... It's one of these ones where you see you're laying one, and then when you go and investigate why you might be laying it, and it's actually in the 410, the mile Filly's Maiden, Snow Lantern for Richard Hannon, popped up in the monitor around Cheltenham time. And it's like, very strange we're laying this at this time. So obviously you must be doing a good bit of work at home or something. Hasn't been seen since making her debut at Ascot over 7 furlongs last July. Was second to Zabeel Queen, who was 3rd in the May Hill, 5th in the Filly's Mile. A little bit disappointing considering the impression she made when she did win her debut. This Snow Lantern, she's by Frankel, out of 1,000 guineas winner Sky Lantern. As I said, just laid a couple of interesting bets and I'd be expecting her. The Hannons had a couple of two-year-olds win in the last week, suggesting that maybe their yards are a bit forward, and she'd really have to be winning this to justify taking a place in the 1,000 guineas. So Snow Lantern maybe to win that maiden, and if she's impressive, maybe she might be a guineas horse.
Keep an eye out for her on the card. Let's move on to Thursday next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, looking ahead to Thursday's card at Newmarket, it is the Craven Meeting, and the Craven is the big race. But before we get to that, let's have a look at some of the support races, including the Abernan Stakes, which is a 6 furlong sprint at the 3 o'clock. Usually Brando runs in this, and I see he's there again after his okay run when 3rd on seasonal debut at 5-1. But it's all about Oxted, folks. He's 10-11 as we speak. Ruby, I'll go to you first. Is he Oxted going to win on the dropping class here for him?
Stuck is definitely a dropping class. I mean, he was spectacular in Newmarket on the July course last year. And then did he, I don't know, went to Ascot, slow ground behind Glenn Shiel. We saw him this year in Saudi Arabia, wasn't it?
It was one of the earliest. Yeah, Saudi Arabia, yeah.
I think it was Saudi Arabia that he ran. Yeah, look, the Oxted that won the July Cup that beat Skeptical won here on the Rowley Mile in June and beaten Breathtaking Look. Yeah, he'll win, but haven't been to Saudi and home again. I don't know. Sprinters are just so in and out, so hard to get a handle on. I'm not certain that I'd face into him with odds on, though, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, he is probably going to go off odds on, Frank, so fair to say, or around about even money.
I think, what is it? It's the guts of 2 months it'll be since he went to Saudi Arabia. Maybe a bit of sun did him good.
He might have got his teeth done and he might have got a nice hair. Tan. Yeah, he got the hair done as well. Turkey on the way back. It. Lovely.
That's it, yeah. I was just looking and thought he's going to be hard to beat. He won this race, albeit when it was run in June last year, beating Breathtaking Look. He obviously improved to win a July Cup in Preston. And I thought he ran really well in the Champions Sprint on Champions Day at Ascot, considering that I think the ground was against him being soft. He's only beaten a length. I think even a replication of that form. I know Brando was ahead of him, but Brando just one of the most in-and-out horses ever. That run really came from nowhere, finishing second that day. He has won this race previously, going back 2017-18, but he's been beaten in the last two renewals, and I think he probably wants softer ground to be seen the best effect these days. And for me, yeah, I'd be very disappointed if Oxley gets beaten. And what's interesting as well, Roger Teal has had 3 winners from 10 runners in the last 2 weeks. So it's good to see the Ireland a bit of form as well. So,
okay. So one vote for Oxhead. Ruby, you're not keen at odds on. Is there anything else in the race that you think, geez, that could be a bit of...
You look down through it and listen to Frank, what beats him? You know, even Emirati Anna ran well at Doncaster and was second behind Royal Command on Lincoln Day. But it still has a huge amount to find on the book. I mean, it's £16 below Oxhead.
It would have been lovely to actually see his run at Doncaster, wouldn't it? That's the one with the camera just focused on the winner.
Oh, yes, they changed the camera. Well, yeah, the camera. Jesus. Yeah, that wasn't ideal. That wasn't ideal. And Method was a very good two-year-old.
And, he's the interesting one.
Yeah, and but a three-year-old taking on four-year-olds this stage of the season, is that too...
And we rode him with Just Frank now in Doncaster and Lincoln there. Look what happened to us.
Yeah.
No, those three-year-olds are off the book now for me anyway for a while.
Okay, all right.
Frank,
go on, Frank.
We didn't see what happened to
Doncaster,
to be honest.
We saw the results.
Method. I mean, he looked very fast, and he was sent off. What was he? 130 for the middle park when Frankie lost the saddle slip, wasn't it? I think
saddle slip. So yeah. Like he had excuses, and when he was second then at Newmarket, I think soft ground 5 furlongs probably just caught him out a little bit. Yeah. He was staying on that day. He looked very good when beating Mighty Gurkha and Newbury in a listed race previous to that. Mighty Gurkha, solid. You know, I think he did win a Group 3 on the all-weather, didn't he? But I don't think he's a proper graded sprinter.
Okay.
Yeah, he did win a Group 3.
But Oxhead, yeah, look, Oxhead's rated 120. Just, like, that's pie for this race, isn't it?
We'll say, Oxhead is a proper grade 1 sprinter. And okay. If he's anywhere near his best... he'll win.
Craven Stakes is a genuine proper 2000 guineas trial. I don't know the last one to do the double halved maybe, but generally you win this, you go into a single figure price for the guineas itself. At this early stage of the week, we're looking ahead to it without the benefit of declarations. Master of the Sea is a very interesting runner for the Godolphin operation towards the top of the betting. Van Gogh, he could run elsewhere. He might run here. 7-2 chinned it for Richard Hannon, looked very smart as well as a two-year-old. Khartoum, La Barossa, there's any number of really fascinating runners. Frank, I'll start with you. What do you think he'll run? What do you think he'll make the mark? What do you think he'll win?
I'm looking and I see that Godolphin have Buick up in Master of the Seas and James Doyle up in La Barossa, so I assume they're going to run.
Excellent.
Definitely make a case for the Master of the Seas. Wasn't disgraced at the Curragh in the National Stakes when beaten 2 lengths by Thunder Moon, who's got a right chance in the Guineas. And Master of the Seas went off 2-1 favourite that day on the back of winning the Superlative Stakes. La Barossa won a Group 3 here in September, the Tattersall Stakes. Wasn't the strongest renewal of the race ever, but I did like the way he won. And I think he just found a mile and heavy ground too much for him in the criterium at St. Cloud. Back of better ground would suit him, but I don't see a jockey booked up for Chindit yet, but I assume he will run here. It's not Richard Hannon's usual MO to go straight to the Guineas. He likes to get a run into them. Chindit looked very good in 3 starts last year, his first 3 starts. He won a listed race at Ascot, beating Cove. That race has worked out. Cove won a listed race, the third one placed in a Group 3. And the fourth won a listed race as well. And then Chindit went to Doncaster for the Champagne Stakes. I thought it was very impressive beating Albashir that day. He had excuses in the Dewhurst. He got impeded in his run at a crucial juncture. And I don't think the soft ground played to his strengths either. And to be fair to Pat Dobbs, when he realised his chance was gone, and just let him kind of coast home. So I wouldn't be taking that as, you know, the limit of his ability. I think he's a grade one horse in the making. I think it's interesting as well that Hannon's won this race 4 years in a row, from 2012-2015, and the likes of Tornado, Trumpet Major and Tourmore Cool Company. But I think Tornado won the exact same listed race in the Champagne Stakes as Chindit did before winning this, and I can see Chindit winning this. Whether he's good enough to win the Guineas, probably not. I think he'd be a little bit like Tornado, maybe finish third or fourth in the Guineas, but if he lines up here, I think he's the one they have to beat.
Before I get Ruby's thoughts, Frank, Khartoum is a big market mover this week, suggesting he might run 16s into 5-1 for Aidan O'Brien. Maiden winner, 2-year-old, or 3-year-old. It's not the MO of Aidan to run his proper Guineas horses in the Craven. Proper Guineas, was likely Guineas winners, but that's an interesting move.
It's normally he runs one to get a guide of where, you know, where they stand with some of the English horses. I'd be surprised if he's the one. Like, obviously, the two from the two horses would be, and then you have Battleground as well, so you've got three. They'd be the three you'd imagine
to focus on. Send over something rated 99 just to get a guide. Isn't that fantastic that he can do that?
You have to respect it, because normally he can make a little bit of a slow start until kind of Guineas weekend, but he's been firing in winners already. Mm-hmm. So, the cash could be significant. As I said, I'd like to see a jockey booked up for Shinnet before he'd have a few quid. Wait till declarations. I think if he runs, he's the one to beat. If he doesn't, wide open.
Ruby, thoughts on the Craven?
Yeah, I would be with Frank. I would be all over Shinnet if he lines up. I mean, as Frank has explained to you, he did get blocked in the Jew horse behind St. Mark's. Asilica behind him on that occasion was Tactical. He runs on Wednesday. So, you know, if Tactical runs a good race, you at least know that the Jew horse form is stacking up. Master of the Seas, I suppose, is it a concern he got beat by Neville Crown and Maidan? Neville Crown runs on Wednesday in a much lesser race than this. Maybe they've seen a huge amount of improvement from Master of the Seas. Who knows? And I thought the other one that could be interesting was Nando Parado of Clive Cox's. If he was to line up, was second in Longchamp in October in the Jean-Luc Lagarde, was it?
Jean-Luc Lagarde.
Lagardère, the Grand Criterium. Well,
used to be the Grand Criterium.
He was second in that. Did beat Quadar on good ground at Ascot in June. You know, might have a squeak at a price.
I'm going to do a forecast, lads. Master of the Seas and Naval Crown. 1-2. The naval team will continue. They're first and second. That'll do me. Listen, guys, thanks a million for your thoughts on the Craven meeting. Frank, is there anything before we go? I know you look at the maidens and the handicaps on those cards as well. I think this is very good. Sorry, there is very good racing at Cheltenham as well midweek, and you might have one for us.
I have one in the Silver Trophy handicap chase, a race I enjoy annually. And I'm going to side with Up the Straight for Richard Rowe. He was placed on handicap hurdle at the track back in October on good ground over 2 miles, 5 furlongs, off a mark of 135. Tight, ran really well at Sandown on the last day. He looked the winner between the last two fences and just tied up after jumping the last. He's got £4 for that, but I think getting back at a better ground will definitely suit him. And he might be a little bit of a price, might be a little bit of value there in the Silver Trophy at 205. On Wednesday.
205 on Wednesday. Watch out for Richard Rowe with Up the Straight. Listen, lads, thank you very much for your time. We will be back on Friday to discuss the weekend, which has obviously mostly been moved to Sunday because of Prince Philip's funeral. So your Greenham and Scottish Grand National meetings will be on Sunday, but we'll be back on Friday to look ahead to those two big meetings on ITV4. Ruby, Frank, enjoy your week.
There's PK. You too.
Thank you very much. All right, lads. We will be back Friday. Don't miss out. Subscribe to the pod. Stay well, stay safe, and stay lucky.